And welcome to what has transpired to be an unscheduled and slightly earlier episode of The Agent's Angle with me, Jonathan Booker.
And me, Peter Palaiologos. Yes, this episode is brought to you off the back of some important news and events relating to the agent's world in the last week that we thought we should bring you before we take a break, and also the opening of the January transfer window.
In this episode, we will be looking at the FIFA Agents and International Transfer Report, the published findings from the Rule K arbitration over agent regulations in England, and also another reported blow to FIFA and the FFAR, this time from South America.
In addition to that, and of high importance, we also have the inside track from last week's FIFA agent working group meeting hosted in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. All that to come on this episode of The Agent's Angle.
So just when we thought we were going to get some time off from the podcast, Peter, a busy week in the agent's world dictated otherwise, meaning one more episode before the end of the year and going out slightly earlier than normal this week, so as not to be lost over the festive period for many. So folks, we will be taking what we consider a well-deserved break after episode 23, now 24 of The Agent's Angle. But the three or four topics we're going to cover today have all come in the last week and are what we consider to be of huge importance and significance in the football agents' world, especially with the January transfer window fast approaching.
Yes, Jonathan, it is never boring in the agents' industry and football agents' landscape. Agent regulation litigation again in the headlines, January transfer window upon us, and some important FIFA-based meetings affecting agents happening this December 2023.
So on to the guts and gubbins of this episode, and in relation to the first topic, I think it only right myself and others doff our hats in your direction, Mr. Palaiologos. As a few weeks ago on episode 21, when we discussed the Rule K arbitration in England over the NFAR, the National Football Agent Regulations, and subsequently the FFAR, the FIFA Football Agent Regulations, I think it pretty safe to say you called it on what reasons may be behind the decision that has been taken, and that was before the findings were published this last week. A lot of people have been making statements and publishing quite a bit of commentary, not least on such platforms as LinkedIn, about the findings. It's a lot of it after those findings were published. But whether brave or risky, you stuck your neck out and made your predictions even prior to the publication of the findings. So onto the details of the Rule K that were published this last week. Can you just do a quick recap of what we already knew? And also now any new details that we have on the Rule K from England?
Yes, I got to read the 111 pages. And what I'll do is I'll actually run through the findings and then run through some other features, which I found quite interesting. But the Rule K was a win for English agents on two of probably the most important matters, the agent fee cap and the pro rata payment rules, both found to be incompatible with United Kingdom competition law. So in summary, the FA, Football Association, and FIFA did not produce sufficient evidence to establish the fee cap and the pro rata payment rules were proportionate and necessary to pursue a legitimate objective that was set out in the regulations. So the regulations have got objectives, and in that case, the fee cap especially wasn't seen as proportionate. Therefore, the arbitration tribunal ruled that the cap is illegal. However, there were a couple of, I wouldn't say losses, but a couple of wins for FIFA or the FA. The dual representation and client pays principle were not found to be incompatible with UK competition law. So dual representation, as we know, you can only represent pretty much one of the parties, although there is the exception where you can represent the player and the selling club. That wasn't found incompatible. And also the client pay principle, where FIFA's directed that clients actually pay the agents. However, what I found interesting about this decision is how agents do business. How was this issue addressed by the regulators, the FA and FIFA, and also by the claimants, the four big agencies? And the tribunal actually emphasized that they saw in this that both the agents and the regulators, the FA and FIFA, saw things differently. Very briefly, Football agents, the claimants, as in the four big agencies, stated that football agents play a key role in facilitating competition between clubs for players, coaches, and thus for on-field success. They're about broking of contracts, transfer of players, and also provide a wider range of services. Agents also add value through trust and reputation, which is fundamental to their success. And also about having the special market knowledge and networks to match players to clubs. FIFA, on the other hand, saw the business as something more based on incentives for agents to encourage or negotiate transfers without the interests of their clients. And they came up with a couple of features of how this is done. And they mentioned a hidden information problem, a hold-up problem, a gatekeeper problem, and engineering transfers. They use these four comps to say there's something wrong with the football agent industry and that agents are really motivated to do as many transfers as they can because they want to drive the commission. So there's a complete difference of opinion of what agents do. I would say that the tribunal took the view of the agents in this regard because that also affected the decision. That agents run the business in terms of broking, representing, trying to get employment opportunities for their players. Now, in terms of the tribunal decision, it actually was quite interesting. Two other aspects. It looked at past research. So it went into the old KA European Affairs report into the FIFA regulations on working with intermediaries. It looked at the CIES Football Observatory report that was commissioned. It looked at the Parrish report, which was from Professor Richard Parrish in 2018. So it went through a whole history of all these reports to get through. The other thing about the decision was that both parties had witnesses. And in terms of the agents, they had some really key witnesses. I don't know whether they made it by oral submission in the arbitration or it was by written submission. But some key witnesses for the agents was Simon Bailey, founder and CEO of RAT Management. Leon Angel, head of football, CA Base. Fari Etzfer, chief operating officer, Global Football, Wasserman. Whereas the governing bodies, they had witness statements or witness testimony given by Alistair Bell, deputy secretary general for FIFA. Dr. Jan Kleiner, director of football regulatory legal compliance at FIFA. Kevin Plum, general counsel, Premier League. Luis Villas-Boas Perez, head of agents, FIFA, and also from the FA, David Newton, head of player status and competitions. So as you can see, a lot of evidence, a lot of analysis of the history, a lot of analysis about what agents did. But at the end of the day, the law, the competition law in this instance, dictated that caps is not in line with English law. Now, I'll say basically the caps were seen as severe move by FIFA and the FA, thus could not be upheld. In essence, that's the decision.
As I said, you pretty much called it in terms of the reasons behind the ruling from the Royal Pay arbitration proceedings. Now, I've had a few people comment to me that the case and arguments of the FA and subsequently FIFA weren't that strong on many aspects, such as the cap. But I will leave that to the legal minds to debate. As I've stated in the past, I don't think the FA wanted FFAR in the form that FIFA wanted it. And maybe the arbitration panel taking the difficult decisions off the FA is something that works for everyone, apart from FIFA, that is. What happens next in England, we don't know at the moment. Maybe some of our other observations from episode 21 with the English NFAR will be proved correct in time. And thus, after the January window is out the way for English clubs and agents and other participants, the FA can look at implementing some form of NFAR. As at the moment, it's a bit of a confusing mishmash in England, with FA registered intermediaries and FIFA licensed agents operating in the same space. It's all a bit confusing for everyone. And the FA, I have to say, are in a difficult place as well, all things considered. And just when we thought we'd heard all the big decisions on FFAR in 2023 with Germany, Spain and England, another huge footballing nation, this time in South America, passes a ruling on FFAR and seemingly gives FFAR and FIFA another kick in the teeth.
Yes, this one's outside Europe and probably one of the biggest markets, Brazil, the biggest exporter of talent into other markets in the world. Do a very short analysis of this decision. So FIFA's agents regulations were rebuffed in Brazil. The 7th Civil Court of, I would call it Rio de Janeiro, a regional court, on the 18th of December, 2023, a day or two ago, made a decision which suspended the football agent regulations introduced by the Brazilian Football Confederation at the national level, citing conflicts with national law. FIFA suffered a setback, as has obviously the Brazilian Federation, just a few days after a very similar decision in England. Now, I'll be brief on this. Three major findings. In Brazil, one of the major reasons the court decided to say that these regulations should not be applied is basically that they scrutinized the Brazilian Federation's mandate to have English proficiency amongst football agents. Because the exam was taken in English for a lot of people, Spanish, but not, I don't believe, in Portuguese, that it infringed the right of work of agents and it was discriminatory and unconstitutional under Brazilian law because it was in English or English proficiency. The other thing was the plaintiffs, the agents in this case, argued that it imposed economic constraints on their economic rights. And in order to safeguard free economic activity, the regulations were struck down. And in this case, we talk about mutual representation, that is seen as an infringement in Brazil of the regulations. And also, the court highlighted that transposing international regulations in a national market has its own complexities. And because of the varied national legal context that we saw in England, now we see in Brazil. So a big blow, a big market, but the Brazilian court found for their own reason, very much national law, constitutional law, and they're very big on freedom of trade, freedom of economic activity, and they interpreted these regulations as inhibiting that. Therefore, the FFAR or the Brazilian National Football Agent Regulations cannot be implemented. The fallback position is going back to the old intermediary regulations in Brazil.
And what's interesting as well is that this sort of disproves what we've heard reported, that some people at FIFA think it's primarily the English who've got a problem with these regulations, if not the British, and then probably the Europeans who've got the problem with these regulations, when it's quite clear that the problems with these regulations are global and FIFA need to recognise that. But there's something else that's come off the back of this that's particularly annoyed me, Peter, and it's relatively minor. But some people in the industry have started to present these cases like some form of football match scoreline. Maybe they're trying to be funny, maybe they're trying to be creative, but this isn't a game. This is people's livelihoods, people's businesses, and it is costing some people, both FIFA and the agents, a huge amount of money. And I'm confident in saying not the people making such petty, inaccurate, if not childish representations of this important subject. And just to finish this point, some can't even get the scoreline right in such cases. It isn't as simple to say one ruling was a win for agents and another was a win for FIFA. It's far more nuanced than that. I think we'll agree. Germany is an injunction. So technically, in my mind, Germany, it's going to extra time. England and Spain weren't total victories one way or the other. The key point of the cap may be in both England and Spain, but there's variations on other aspects of the FFAR in those two territories. Even the CAS decision has questions hanging over it. So although FIFA have presented that as a win in its entirety, on closer examination, that doesn't seem to be the case. As Guido highlighted in episode 4, there's some unanswered questions there. Also, many of these challenges are very, very different, as are the views of different agents and different agencies and their associations around the world. A ruling in one case may be considered a win or a loss by one agent, but not necessarily another agent.
Yes, I think several agent commentators, if I can call it that, or agent industry commentators, have taken a very superficial point scoring approach to this matter. The major issue is we all want the caps removed as agents. We agree with that. But FIFA must be recognized as they are still the regulator and have the power to regulate transfers of players worldwide. It is not a cut and dry situation. There are a lot of layers of complexity in Europe, in Asia, in South America, etc. A lot of these pundits on social media don't understand the interconnection between regulation, the agent business, and the transfer of players for me. Some also haven't respected the hard work done by many agent organizations to influence FIFA to change course. Pretty much the cap's the main thing, but to change course on a lot of these issues. For instance, I agree that the CAS case, a lot of people put everything on the line for that case, and their efforts must be respected. because that case provides a lens of what the international sports law jurisprudence and how that applies to the regulation. So as an international framework, CAS went through that. Now, there may have been a loss to the agents, but not a total loss. But it also is an important case, as are some of the wins in Germany or Spain or England and now Brazil.
And of course, this is a significant twist in the FFAR saga. Brazil is a huge footballing nation in so many ways. And Brazil, with its dearth of playing talent, will, of course, play a huge part in any transfer window, including the one that's soon to open. But on the subject of January, we think the January window will be a busy one. And one, of course, I think Saudi Arabia could bring some intrigue once again to the football transfer world, as we discussed with Gad on episode 22 of The Agent's Angle. But there was another important event in regards to agents happening in Saudi Arabia this last week, where FFAR must have been the main topic of conversation. Now, we're very fortunate, Peter, in that we not only have some very good contacts and associates who serve on the agents working group, which met this last week, some of whom have been guests on the show. And I think it's safe to say they're all good and honourable people, focused on the best interests of agents as a whole. Many not there to make up the numbers or give FIFA an easy ride, as some would have you believe. And along with those, we have other contacts in and around football governance who are privy to information that isn't openly available. These contacts don't only relay information to us, but we can also relay our thoughts, concerns, and ideas to them on various matters, as well as those thoughts and concerns of the listeners to the agent's angle and also other agents. And they convey them back to the likes of FIFA. Now, we do have some information from this meeting, but we can't divulge everything at this time, as some of it is given in total confidence. Hopefully soon, all licensed agents will be given a full report from FIFA on the agent working group meeting in an open and not rephrased form to suit FIFA. Personally, Peter, I'd love to speak with the agent representative for the UK and England on the FIFA agent working group, but as I don't get to visit Spain as often as I would like, that's not possible. So, Peter, what do we know that we can divulge from the agent working group this last week in Jeddah?
Well, some anecdotal information has come to our attention, and, you know, we obviously try to resource and research what's going on. And this was the second agents working group meeting, and a very important one at a time where the litigation that we've seen recently has really made an impact on the regulation implementation. I think this meeting, in terms of the general tone, was much more assertive. I think the agents' voices were put forward in much more assertive manner. There was very participants at this meeting. We had people from FIFPro, the International Player Union, ECA, European Club Association, World Leagues. But from an agent's perspective, we had the European Football Agents Association, PROFA, the African Agents, AFA, as well, UEFA, which is not UEFA as in the European Confederation, but UEFA as in the Union of South American or American Agents, and also some independent agents. I know anecdotally that in terms of the exam was discussed and pass rates and also the number of licensed agents. Overall, over the two exams, 33% pass worldwide. Also was confirmed the average age of an agent is about 42. One issue, and this is very much for South American and African agents, is the African agents were very adamant that FIFA had to start bringing down the costs of renewing the agency license. And the agency renewal, I believe, not confirmed yet, been brought down from $600 to $300. Also that FIFA will add more information on the agent's directory and also improve the question and answers on its portal about all the different services offered. There was a big emphasis, and I know this, having heard it from several sources, on unlicensed agents. Certain agents at that meeting wanted a huge crackdown on unlicensed agents. It was about time. And even mentioned, and maybe FIFA agreed to this, that once information about unlicensed agents goes to FIFA, that FIFA will start a process, what we may call cease and desist. They may send a letter or a circular to an agent or to a club to not deal with that unlicensed agent. So that's an interesting move, but it is time for unlicensed agents to get out of the game. So that's a positive if that's happened. Agents Tribunal, which came in at the same time as the regulations from 1st October. I believe there's about 20 cases. So that's already started the process. At the Agent Tribunal's already got about 20 cases. It also is hearing older legacy cases, but already 20 agent cases, which we know the Agent Tribunal is free, have already started. The other emphasis was a push for a memorandum of understanding between FIFA and agent organizations. I mentioned which ones were represented there, but I think there's a move to the agents becoming stakeholders, and that these associations, European football agents, PROFA, the African agents, the South American agents, and others will become more of the sole representative bodies for agents. There's also some speculation about the pass mark. I mentioned only 33% pass. There's some speculation that it may be reduced from 75% to maybe lower. I'm not sure about that, but that's some of the feedback we have. Obviously, we'll talk about the caps in due course as well and what the feedback was about that. But that's the feedback in terms of what happened at the FAWG so far from our sources.
Yeah, and we've had a couple of days to reflect on what we've heard, and information's dripping out bit by bit at various points. But we have to try and check these things up and make sure they correlate rather than speculate. The pass rates and number of licensed agents, this isn't so much confidential any longer. Some of it can actually be extrapolated from the FIFA agent report that we'll come to later in this episode. But I still have a question over why FIFA and some of the member associations have held this information back for quite a long time. Exam one was a matter of weeks, if not days, when we heard pass rates and entrants and licensed agents. Did one set of results paint the picture slightly differently than the other that suited possibly FIFA? The exam fees, I think, is a good move. We've heard several stories of some FAs and member associations seemingly taking advantage in the amount that they charge, so some form of standardisation on that is good. The change in the grade or mark of the exam and the format of the exam. Now, this is a bit of a double-edged sword for me. In one sense, the exam needs major work to be fairer and more relevant. And let's have some FIFA invigilators is what I'd say to make sure that it follows a standard procedure around the world to make it fair for everyone. The dropping of the mark, I don't see as a positive. Firstly, why? When the aim of the exam and the licensing process was to raise standards, we don't want a barrier to entry, but we want a suitable standard. The only time for me a mark should be lowered is if the exam becomes tougher or the pass rate is incredibly low, which for me it isn't. The pass rate on this exam is not incredibly low. Those who failed it might think it's incredibly low, but it's not. Also, the exam, as you said, needs to be made available in other widely spoken languages to be fairer around the world. We've heard that from a lot of people. We heard it from exam candidates way, way back. We heard it from Yuki in Japan. It needs consistency. It needs to be fair to all agents around the world. The license renewals, that again, it's to be welcome. But then again, when you consider FIFA, based on the licensed agents at the moment, they've taken $3.25 million in registration fees from licensed agents since this new process came in. But if the renewal fee is going to be dropped, I hope that isn't reflected in a downgrade in service to agents and other participants, such as enforcement, the quality of CPD, which still needs drastic improvements, in my opinion, because then surely if we start dropping that, we start dropping standards and it's a race to the bottom. The unlicensed agents is the big topic for me. I welcome it, but how are they going to do it? How are FIFA going to tackle unlicensed agents? First of all, the who. Who are they going to sanction? Unlicensed agents cannot be sanctioned effectively. Sending people a letter, they may as well send them a Christmas card. Clubs, players, member associations, are they going to be sanctioned? Because the unlicensed agents, to use the phrase of the FA that they've used for over 10 years, when asked, what can you do about unlicensed agents? Well, we can't do anything. They're unlicensed. Unless you make the penalties to those using unlicensed agents applicable, reasonable, and enforceable, that ain't going to change. And that means clubs, players, and member associations. What scale are they going to enforce it on? Are FIFA going to turn around and say, well, we can only do it on international transactions? Well, arguably, what a national transaction with an unlicensed agent at some point in the future will grow to become an international problem. You've got to stop it at source. How are they going to do it? The willing may be there, but is the ability? They simply haven't the people, the power, or the knowledge. They've had enough problems trying to issue licenses and answering queries in an efficient manner. So how are they going to do that? The team simply isn't big enough there. They need more resources if they're going to be serious about this. And finally, the when. When are they going to do it? Because I'll say it here, I'll say it loud. We've heard all of this before about unlicensed agents and nothing was done consistently. And the easiest way to operate as an agent, past, present, future, is typically as an unlicensed agent. Back to the agent working group meeting. A big thing for me is whether we're going to have a report or select minutes of this meeting sent to all FIFA licensed agents and not a FIFA sanitized version. Maybe even a couple of the agent members on the agent working group can work with FIFA on putting that report to licensed agents together, because that's a step forward. Otherwise, we're going back to the accusation of a lack of transparency.
That's a fair comment, Jonathan. I mean, at the end of the day, agent organizations need to report to the members what they put forward and what were the outcomes. So a report is definitely necessary, as is what were the outcomes and what are the next steps and initiatives going to be taken by FIFA, but also the agents groups, agent associations. Now, the big issue that we haven't addressed here is what's going to happen with the caps. Now, I've read a few things, Jonathan. What have you come across?
We've read and heard from various sources, shall I say. And this started circulating a couple of weeks ago, not long after the Rule K decision in England. And that is that FIFA are rumoured to be considering suspending the capping elements of FFAR. Now, we must stress this is still just a rumour. But we've done some amateur sleuthing and detective work, and there are quite a few people saying that they have heard this and or been informed of such. So my take here, given the quality and reliability of some of the sources we've heard this from, is that there's no smoke without fire. There's something to this rumour. I don't know your opinion on it, Peter, but for me, there's no smoke without fire. There's some credibility behind this. Whether it can be done quickly by some form of executive order at FIFA remains to be seen, or whether they have to wait for FIFA Council approval, I don't know. I don't even know off the top of my head when the next FIFA Council meeting is. Granted, this is FIFA's mess. They should be the ones sorting it out and helping those affected, if not even compensating them. But I think it's safe to say many others will have to tidy up the mess. So firstly, we have to consider that this is going to leave a lot of national member associations in a very difficult predicament if they have already implemented FIFA's prescribed cap from FFAR in their own national football agent regulations, as was the instruction by FIFA. Also, the ramifications it has for any agents or agencies who may have expressly put the cap in their representation agreements with clients over the last year in anticipation of FFAR. The safe thing to say is that the lawyers' phones will no doubt be buzzing again over this issue.
I always do with this sort of FFAR saga. Now, you're right. I think maybe the FIFA Council will need to get involved unless they can do a quick executive decision about the caps. We know that they just had a FIFA Council meeting in Saudi Arabia. It was more based on the allocation of tournaments. So I didn't see anything about the FIFA football agent regulations. I know, having spoken to quite a few people in the agent organizations and some of their representatives who attended this meeting, that some put new cap proposals to lift the current cap rates, whilst others called for the abolition or suspension of the caps outright at this stage. So submission put forward about the caps that something needs to be done. I think with all the litigation troubles, FIFA may need to suspend the cap at least till the European Court of Justice decision. I think that's the crucial decision, which may not happen next year. It could even happen in 2025, which probably would mean that three, maybe four upcoming transfer windows may be free of a cap. So that's the implications. You can't have caps in some countries and not in others at the international level. Now, I actually got a call today, Jonathan, from one trusted source, and he just notified me that the Belgium FA has notified the clubs that it will not enforce the cap on national transactions and that the cap will only be a recommendation until the European Court of Justice decision is made or that result given. That is a very interesting implication because that's outside the top five leagues in Europe, but it's a response by a national association, seeing what's happening in Germany, Spain, England, Brazil, responding. Now, I'm going to double verify that, but I do trust this source, but I'm going to double verify that the Belgium FA has made a unilateral decision not to enforce the cap on national transactions. So the pressure's on FIFA to probably come up with a temporary solution, and maybe that solution may be a suspension of the cap, Jonathan.
I think that's another nail in the coffin for the cap at the moment, but we have to wait to see how things pan out. Now, another thing I noticed when you take into consideration the timing of the agents working group meeting last week and other matters, including the FIFA Football Agents in International Transfers report, which was also conveniently released last week, is this magical scheduling coincidence that often happens with FIFA. They're quite adept at it. In that on the 14th of December, we have the widely anticipated, not just by those in England, but the release of the findings from the Rule K arbitration over NFAR and FFAR in England. And then on the same day, the 14th of December, FIFA released the Football Agents in International Transfers report. The day after, on the 15th of December, we have the Agents Working Group meeting in Saudi Arabia. And also, the day after that, the 16th of December, marks the first anniversary of FIFA Council approving the FFAR in Qatar. And just remember, that was done not long before the World Cup final. So no distraction intended, I'm sure, and just one of those mere coincidences in these matters. And a year on from those being approved, I don't think I need to ask how a lot of people feel about FFAR, but I doubt it's received many birthday wishes.
Well, yes, it's 1 year from approval. We're approaching that time right now. And who would have thought seeing such huge activity by agents and agent businesses and football lawyers to challenge the regulations in a lot of markets 1 year later? Now, we need more unity in the agents' ranks to approach these matters going forward. But here we are 1 year later, and we're in an ecosystem that is fragmented, a situation or a landscape that we see agents not knowing what to do in certain countries. So what can you say, Jonathan?
So as we've already mentioned in this episode a couple of times now, last week also saw the release of the Football Agents in International Transfers report from FIFA, which for me is a bit of a conundrum in itself, as it only technically covers 2 months of football agents rather than the intermediaries for the other 9 months of the report. But that is probably me being a bit pedantic over the terms intermediaries and agents, but it is relevant. Now, I started to really scrutinise this report, Peter, as you know I do, quite sadly. I scrutinise these reports, I pick them apart. But with this one, I started to do it and I thought to myself, do I really need to? Do I have to? And do I want to repeat much of what I have said with similar reports in the past? And I will apologise to everyone in advance, but I haven't scrutinised it in as much detail as I usually would. I started to look at it and compare it with past reports and then thought, what is the point with this report? It's got a massive skew and misrepresentation that FIFA generally puts into these sorts of reports. And it's just got to a point now where it totally devalues them for me. They publish them usually with an anti-agent headline and then some key points that suit their narrative, even using such charts at CAS in hearings that are out of context and without any comparative information. And personally, these actions by FIFA and these reporters just strengthen my belief that such reports are used to fuel that anti-agent rhetoric and caricature that all agents are millionaires, when it simply is not the case for the vast, vast majority. And at this point, I would like to issue a challenge to FIFA for 2024. In the cause of transparency, a word Mr. Infantino repeatedly promotes and talks about, if you want these sort of reports to be taken seriously and judged fairly, release the raw data, not just a subset of the data, and definitely not your FIFA, your statistics and your interpretations. Let the likes of EFA, TFF, PROFA, other agents' associations, independent analysts, and even the media scrutinise the data fully. Then they can offer their own interpretations and we get a reflection from all. But before anyone thinks I've given up scrutinising such reports, I haven't. But there's some of the reasons, as I've already stated, why I haven't scrutinised this specific report is based on the fact I view it as a bit of an anomaly for this year with all the FFAR uncertainty, if not an even more disingenuous representation of agents to suit FIFA and the grasping of any remaining straws they have for capping of agents' fees and some of the more unreasonable aspects of FFAR. So firstly, this report from FIFA says it covers the 1st of January 2023 to the 30th of November 2023, a period, as I've already said, whereby the FFAR was implemented piecemeal and in a fragmented way. Two, does this cover agents or intermediaries? Does it cover existing agreements or new agreements? I would argue it is intermediaries in this report that's the priority, not agents under the new regulations, as there's only 2 months in the report where FFAR is supposedly implemented in full. Also, on the agreements, there could be a lot of new agreements being filed here to prepare for all possible eventualities of FFAR. And thirdly, does it cover those countries where FFAR or NFAR, national regulations in the territory, were implemented during the period of the report, for example, Germany?
All good questions, Jonathan. I saw a lot of comments made on this report on the LinkedIn sphere, that this report had some interesting figures and facts. Things like the agents from the UEFA member associations accounted for 86%+ of the total outlay or the payment of agent service fees. So they're still the biggest market. It's all Eurocentric, although there is an acknowledgement that Saudi Arabian clubs are now the biggest spending on engaging club agents with over 86 million. But I don't want to go into that. There were other trends, how many licenses issued, that 95.2% of agents are male and a few other bits and pieces. What I was interested in is the interesting trends of this report. And there were a few, besides all this other thing that was put out there, that England had the highest share of incoming transfers that involved an engaging club agent with 46.7%. However, that Eurocentric, I would say, approach didn't apply on the other way, whereas Korea had the greatest share of outgoing transfers with a releasing club agent at 30%. But for me, I think the report, as you say, it covers part of the intermediaries and it moved into the FFAR. I would prefer a more collaborative effort. You mentioned some other stakeholders, TFF, IFA, other agent associations, ECHA. We need to see a little bit more of a collaborative effort in terms of the data. But I will mention some interesting stats for our worldwide audience, which I found quite interesting. Players from New Zealand used the agents most in 2023. More than half their transfers that were represented by agents. Next was Norway, Czechia, Denmark, and my home country, Australia, of 40.5%. So very interesting that these markets, agents are used the most. Not in England, not in Italy, but these markets. Also interesting, women's professional football in 2023 spent more than $1 million for the services of club agents, a total outlay of just under $1.4 million. So there's a growing market for agents in the women's space and their fees. Now, in terms of employing an agent, and I found this quite interesting, Norwegian players were more prone to employ an agent in 2023. Players from Holland and Australia weren't far behind either. So interesting where agents are quite popular. Now, the agency business has cultural nuances and varied engagement approaches. How you operate in Argentina and Portugal is different how you operate in Australia and Japan, how you operate in England and Italy. And I think this report, although captures some data and snapshot, it doesn't tell a lot about the cultural trends, who's involved in the deals, because we know that sometimes it's 2-3 agents involved in the deals. It's an insightful report, but I think at the moment it's maybe lacking in some areas, Jonathan.
As I said, I think it's an anomaly this year. But in the interest of balance, I think it's important that we quote what seemingly FIFA saw as the interesting things from this report and their headline points. Now, the first one, and I'll quote it, in 2023, clubs paid $888.1 million US dollars in agent service fees, the highest ever amount, and an increase of 42.5% on 2022. Now, as I've repeatedly pointed out in the past, there is no breakdown of what clubs are paying for. Are they paying on behalf of the individual, i.e. the player? And what period are they paying for? Is it fees in advance of services in the future or contracts that run and expire in the future? We all pretty much predicted in 2022, 2023, intermediaries and agents would try and get as many deals done as possible before the new FFAR potentially came into force. Why is that? It's so obvious. That's what happens when you impose a cap in the future, FIFA. That is what happens. You've threatened a cap, so those figures have gone up. The second point they raise is that for the first time, clubs in women's professional football spend more than $1 million US in agent service fees. It doesn't take a genius to work this one out. Thanks, FIFA, for stating the bleeding obvious. The women's game is growing at an exponential rate. Bigger crowds, increasing revenues, increasing transfer fees, increasing salaries, more agents. So really, doesn't that all correlate with an increase in agents' fees? And again, going back to what I've stated before with the report on agents' fees in the men's game, a fairer representation would be if these FIFA reports cross-reference these figures with the number of transactions involved, the number of agents involved, the transfer fees, and the salaries when comparing one year to another. And the final one, English clubs were the number one spenders by far, with a combined total of more than $280 million US in agent fees. Again, another fine bit of work from FIFA's stating the bleeding obvious department. Big revenues, big transfer fees, big salaries equal big agents' fees. Thanks for that, Einstein.
Look, the report, you know, has some interesting dimensions to it. You mentioned England. I mean, obviously, Saudi's starting to catch up. That's one of the outliers. We see growth in fees there. I agree. I'd like to see a little bit more sort of a deep dive analysis and deep dive of data. Even here, there was an opportunity to go around. Obviously, you've looked at all the leagues, you looked at the deals. You can even come up with some data about the average agent fee paid in certain regions and leagues. Is it 5%, 7%, 10%? What was paid? Or between different agents, if they're collaborating, just to get that data in. Not because we need it for the FFAR, but just the insight that this is the current state of play before the FFR. These were the average rates in different countries. I think agents would be very interested in that and how that sort of allied with the caps that was in the FFAR. It's, I think, an interesting report, but I think we need to do better going forward. And as you said, Jonathan, it has to be more collaborative. I will mention something here, and I might just pivot, that we have tomorrow the European Super League case being decided. 21st December 2023, at the time of recording, that's tomorrow. That decision between UEFA and the Super League entity is going to have a big impact going forward on probably the European Court of Justice case that may involve agents, because it's competition law and it's also it involves a regulator, UEFA, in this instance. So I mean, it's a sidetrack from the report, but I think that's a big issue going forward.
Maybe in the new year, we will see a huge change in direction from FIFA and others, but it may be too late for some in the industry. FFAR has affected people's livelihoods, businesses, and in some cases, their health over several years now, and that needs to be recognised. This change in direction, if not by choice at FIFA, then it may be changed by the decisions of the German courts, the Spanish courts, the Brazilian court, and the arbitration panel in England, amongst others. Will it force FIFA to see sense and change direction and finally acknowledge what many have been telling them for years on FFAR? But they have been unwilling to listen, let alone hear up till now. Hopefully, things will change.
I think we'll have a lot of developments in 2024. FIFA obviously will need to respond to the litigation, both in dealing with cap issues, but also how to effectively implement agent regulations across the board when you have a medley of nations that have different rules or will not follow the FIFA football agent regulations. Also, this is the opportunity for the agents to step up. Where are their counter models of regulations, their ideas, now that we've seen this disparate decisions and the impact on the FFAR? How do we improve the agent profession? That's the big questions. And agents need also, as stakeholders, to be involved in that.
So with that, 24 episodes of the Agents Angle down, Peter. And as we said earlier, we're going to take a break. We need that break. It's been an interesting year for me, and the agent's angle has epitomised that. It's been hard work, as I'm sure you'll agree. Hugely frustrating at times, but also enjoyable at others. And it's only right we take this opportunity to thank all those who have given up their time to join us as guests and share their insights and expertise with not only us, but also the listeners. So thank you to Eddie, Colin, Guido, Maria, Jed, Dev, Romeric, Joachim, Nat, Demi, Matthew, Cody, Paolo, Paddy, Matt, Yuki, Effendi, Rodrigo, Gregor, Joe, and Gad. And if I've missed anybody, I apologize profusely.
Jonathan, what an epic series of episodes and guests we had in 2023. I think we have provided an angle into what has been missing in the disparate world of football agency to bring all the news, views, insights, critical analysis, and the dynamics at play all together. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy new year. Best of health to all our friends and their families. All the best for all the agents doing business in 2024. All being well, we'll be back in the new year. And in terms of the upcoming transfer window, as the elite journalist Fabrizio Romano says, here we go.
Yes, whatever festival you may be celebrating at this time of year, or whether it's just time with friends and family, or taking a well-deserved rest, all the best. And we wish you not just a happy new year, but a fruitful, productive, and not too stressful January transfer window. Take care now. Bye.
The purpose of the Agent's Angle podcast is to provide news, information, and facilitate discussion on regulatory matters, policies, business trends and issues affecting football agents worldwide. The opinions and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only and should never be considered legal or professional advice. Furthermore, the views expressed by guests are their own and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Thank you for listening.